and welcome to The Huntington Way. My name is Pearl Sonnenschein.
And I'm Lenny DiCastro.
And last episode, we talked about the pandemic and the effects of the pandemic on education and students. And this episode, we're going to be focusing on homeschooling and why more parents are opting into homeschooling their children. We're going to talk about the benefits and pitfalls of homeschooling, and later I'll be interviewing Katie Crumpton, who is a homeschool mom, and she'll be able to give us some insights into homeschooling and what that has been like for her.
So let's take a moment to define homeschooling, because there are many different versions and ways of homeschooling out there, especially with schools having gone virtual. The type of homeschooling we're referring to in this episode is when the students are not enrolled in any public or private school, including online school. The parents are the one who's teaching the students their children at home.
Yes, and I think that that's an important differentiation to point out because during the pandemic, many students were learning from home, which is a little bit different than the homeschooling that we're referring to today. And according to the United States Census, the Colorado homeschooling rates have increased 5% since the onset of the pandemic, from 3.4% in April of 2020 to 8.7% of students doing homeschooling in September of 2020. And we can guess that one of the main reasons that so many families switched to homeschooling in 2020 is due to the pandemic, but there are many other reasons for why parents would choose the homeschool route for their kids.
Right. One of those reasons is that homeschooling allows parents to really individualize and personalize the curriculum and learning environment for their students.
Which is a teacher's dream, really, is to be able to individualize the curriculum for each individual student depending on their learning needs. And to go along with that, another benefit of homeschooling is that parents not only have the freedom to choose what curriculum they give to their students, but also how their kid is learning the information. So they don't necessarily just need to give worksheets and multiple choice tests all the time. They can branch out a little bit, assign their students some projects or some hands-on learning activities. Another benefit of homeschooling is that parents can spend more time with their kids and vice versa. And students who are homeschooled can actually accomplish more than they can academically in a quote-unquote typical school. 78% of peer-reviewed studies have actually shown that homeschool students perform significantly better than those in more structured school settings.
And another reason why parents choose to homeschool is because they were able to guarantee a safe learning environment for their children. Even with remote and hybrid instructions, bullying has not gone away by any means. But students who homeschool are less likely to experience bullying.
That's right. And that's definitely an issue that many students have when they go to school. And Lenny, because you were once a teacher for a while, did you and your husband ever talk about the possibility of homeschooling your son?
Not really, because during that time, there's not a lot of options for us. Being a military family, moving from one place to another place, going to dad school, going to public school, that's going to be another option. But I didn't opt for homeschooling back then because I want my child to become to be socialized with other students, especially that we're moving a lot. I want him to learn the other culture as well.
Yeah, and going to school, especially in different countries, is a great opportunity to learn about those cultures.
Definitely.
And also, homeschooling is not for everyone. It is hard work. As I was doing some research on homeschooling, I learned that it looks a lot different than regular school. I thought that homeschooled students had a very structured day and also maybe started their school day around 8 a.m., ended around 3 p.m., but that's not necessarily the case with a lot of homeschooling families. The nice thing is that they have so much flexibility when it comes to their daily or even weekly routine.
Yeah, and then that can be a benefit or a challenge of homeschooling. It depends on the students, actually, and sometimes when they go wake up early in the morning, they can start early, and then they can finish early as well. And some students thrive on flexibility, while others may struggle with that and need the structure that the school day brings.
Very true. Another challenge that comes with homeschooling is, like I mentioned earlier, it does take a lot of time and dedication on the parents' end. So parents are the ones who are responsible for finding lessons, finding the curriculum that they want to teach their students. They may have less time for themselves during the school day, depending on what their student schedule looks like. Homeschooling might not be an option for families where both parents have jobs, because homeschooling is already a full-time job, not to mention being a parent in and of itself.
Yeah, and I'm also wondering about the socialization aspects of homeschooling. It must be more challenging for homeschool parents to help their kids make friends Whereas in public school, kids have just friends with their classmates or peers involved in athletics or art.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine that homeschool parents need to be more intentional about socializing their children. The good news is that there are many options out there for getting students to meet other children outside of the home. But again, it probably takes that extra effort.
Yes. And then there's a lot of activities that they can choose anyway, because they have their own, since they have their own time that they can do, they can go to different activities during the day. So far, we've talked about the pros and cons of homeschooling, and later Pearl is going to interview a homeschool mom of four, so stay tuned. But first, our weekly tip for students.
This week's tip for students is remind yourself of your goals. Most of us just got back from spring break, and we're in the last quarter of the school year, which is arguably one of the most stressful times of the year. A lot of students are preparing for final exams, high school students are preparing for AP tests, or a lot of students are just trying to raise their grades and finish strong with the school year. Many of you set goals for yourself in the beginning of the school year or the beginning of the second semester, whether you set it yourself or maybe your parent or one of your teachers had you set goals, but you've probably forgotten about those completely by now.
So students, remind yourself of those goals to stay motivated and keep on track. Whatever your goal was to get all A's and B's, improve in understanding, reading or math, keep a planner, or a goal unrelated to school like making new friends or practicing piano at home or learn a new skill. Just remember that when you have a goal to work towards, it focuses your motivation and makes it easier to get through the last couple of months of the school year.
This has been The Huntington Way. When we come back, I'll be interviewing Katie Crumpton on her experience as a homeschooling parent. Welcome back to The Huntington Way. I am here with Katie Crumpton, who has been homeschooling for the last 11 years with her children. And I'm going to ask her a few questions about her overall experience. So welcome, Katie.
Hi.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been homeschooling, like you said, for 11 years. I have four boys ranging in age from 5 years old to almost 17 next week. And so next year I'll have a kindergartner and a senior, which is pretty much the entire spectrum. I am a voice teacher. I'm a musician. I play tennis. I love doing a lot of things.
Yeah, you have a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Right. Amazing. Okay. And what brought you to the decision of homeschooling your children?
Well, if we talk about that, we have to bring in my husband, because he was homeschooled all the way through his senior year, which he actually graduated at 16. And they homeschooled through the 80s and 90s, where it just wasn't, you know, really popular. I don't want to say popular, but not a lot of people were doing it. You know, you usually wore denim and had goats if you homeschooled in the 80s and 90s. But they were a military family, and it just made sense for their family at that time to homeschool. So I bring him into the picture because I met him in college, and like I said, he graduated at 16, and he was just a little bit different than the other guys that I met in college. And he would just do things like open doors and look at you in the eye. I don't know. He was just a little bit different. So that totally changed my outlook on what homeschooling and what homeschoolers were. So anyway, fast forward, we got married, started having kids, and I actually have a degree in music education. So that was not on my, I wasn't planning on homeschooling at all. But when I did my student teaching, I decided that wasn't really the environment that I wanted to teach in, just because it was, I just couldn't see raising a family at that point in my life, because I already had a little one who's in preschool and I was pregnant with my second. So I was just like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. So I decided that private teaching was kind of my route to go. And I want to throw in there that I love public schools. I love public school teachers. Like I just think they do so much, and I'm so I just want us all to work together because we all have the same goals to, you know, raise our kids and teach kids. Anyway, so I don't even remember where I was in this story.
Well, so you met your husband, you had you had one kid already and you were pregnant with another.
Yes. Okay. So when my oldest was in preschool, we had him in a private preschool. And then it was time for a little bit of a transition. So my husband just kind of said, why don't you think about this? And, you know, I was having another baby. So it just kind of worked for our family. And, you know, those early years, they're not that intimidating. You know, I can teach letters and numbers.
Sure.
And then as he got older and as we added more kids, and the stakes got just a little bit higher, I decided to homeschool. And really the big reason for me was that I wanted to have the freedom to give my kids real experiences. You know, if we were talking about the Civil War, I wanted to go visit Civil War sites. If we were talking about anatomy, I wanted them to interview nurses and doctors. You know, just real world experiences. Going to symphonies, going to art museums. I mean, that's kind of I love the arts, obviously. And not saying that you can't do that when your kids are in public school or private school or charter schools or whatever, but it just gives you a little bit more open, an open schedule to do that. So yeah, that was kind of the impetus to get us into homeschooling. And then, you know, we did have a short time when my oldest son was in second grade that he went to public school and he had a fantastic experience. I mean, it was great. I had my second and third child were born 18 months apart. So, you know, I was like nursing a kid and I had a toddler and I was trying to teach a second grader and it was just way too much.
Lots to juggle.
Lots. And so we, you know, it was great. We put him in school and he won the spelling bee. He was second in the spelling bee out of all of the next grade, the third grade. And then he was first in the math bee of everyone in the third grade. So we were like, yes, we got this figured out. But then when he was home for Christmas break in his third grade year, he was just like, I think I want to homeschool again. And I was just like, why? We have this figured out. You know, you're doing great. You're thriving. And he said, I just miss time with our family.
Aww.
And I was like, gosh, what 8-year-old says that? So we were about to move to the Dallas area at that moment. So, you know, I was like, well, I think we can try this again. Let's try this again. Why not? So we went back to it and we haven't done anything else since then. And he'll be a senior next year. So,
wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it all started with meeting your husband, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So now that you have been homeschooling for so long, what are some struggles and celebrations? I guess let's first start with what do you find most rewarding about homeschooling?
So one of the biggest rewards that I see and that I kind of look to in my day-to-day is those moments of awe that I can instill in them. So whether that's taking them to a national park and doing something huge like that, or even seeing them see a butterfly wing under a microscope and they're just like, wow, that's amazing. All that in adjacent to seeing them get things for the first time. And I get to be there to see that happen, witness it happen. And it's just life-giving to me when, you know, whether it's getting fractions and they're like, oh, I understand now. You know, those kind of moments are just, they're like fuel. It just helps me go on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And from because I was a public educator for a while. And so we call that the aha moment, right? And that's definitely something that is one of the most rewarding aspects about being a teacher in general, too, is seeing that spark, seeing a student get it And that's really cool that you're able to see that as their parent too.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of parents get to see that. Usually that happens at school, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Very exactly. Cool. It's such a gift. Mm-hmm. I really feel like all of homeschooling is such a what's the word? It's a gift, mm-hmm. you know, because like you were saying earlier, not everybody can do it. Even if you want to, you know, if you have two parents that need to work or whatever, it's really a privilege. That's the word I was trying to think of. And I hope that homeschoolers see it as a privilege because it really is.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. And then the pandemic has been happening.
Yes.
and so what was going on with homeschooling during the pandemic? What were some struggles that came to light? But then also what were some benefits in a way?
So for our family, my husband works from home and he has for, you know, 11 years or so. And so when everything hit, our lives didn't really shift all that much, mm-hmm. which was kind of nice. The biggest shift, I guess, that happened was in all of our extracurricular activities. You know, things like Boy Scouts and our choir that the kids were in had to stop, you know, all those other things, you know, you're talking about socialization. Those were the things that had to cease. And that was really difficult. However, I decided to use it as an opportunity instead. So we did a lot of traveling, actually, in 2020 and 2021. And it was really fun. I mean, we were living in Dallas at the time. And so around February, we read all about Martin Luther King Jr. and Selma and, you know, the civil rights movement. And we went to Selma and we walked the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And that moment, walking across the bridge with them, I was just like, this is what education is. Like, even if they don't understand the gravity of what we're doing right now, hopefully they will someday.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they will. Yes.
And I was just like, this is so amazing. And then we, you know, stayed in the Smokies for a little bit and came back. And we took a trip to Montana and did things like that. But we were all safe during the whole thing. But, you know, it was just... I don't know. It was really fun to just spend time as a family and kind of grow those roots a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And I'm sure for them, you know, seeing those historical sites makes such a huge impact compared to just reading about it in a textbook, right?
Yeah.
So that's awesome that you were able to do that. You mentioned, and we mentioned earlier, socializing and encouraging your kids to make friends outside of the home. So, for parents that may be struggling with socializing their kids, what advice would you have for them?
Well, when I got this question, or when you sent it to me, it was really interesting because parents in the homeschooling world kind of laugh at the socializing question. Because since we're already in it, we already see all the places that they socialize, you know, I mean, yes, you do have to take a little bit of impetus and get out there. But, you know, neighborhood kids, there's so many opportunities, especially in the last year to 2 years, because there has been this influx of COVID schoolers is what we call them.
Yeah.
Sorry to label them, but that's just what has come out of it. But there's just so many more opportunities to meet other kids. I mean, libraries have so many opportunities that help just make their education and make their friendships flourish. But I would say to parents that have trouble socializing their kids, I'm going to tell a story about my husband's experience. So back in the 80s and 90s, like I said, there weren't very many opportunities for socializing outside of like churches and, you know, some libraries would have classes and things like that. But so when they wanted to get together with other kids, it was just more difficult. And plus, that was pre-internet, right? So you really had to be connected somehow with people, other than the people in your neighborhood, of course. So he decided to take up bridge with the senior center. So here's this like 14-year-old kid playing bridge with seniors, and he loved it. And the really cool thing about it is homeschool kids get the opportunity to socialize with kids of all different ages and backgrounds too. And so it's not unusual to see teenagers hanging out with 10-year-olds, you know, and they think nothing of it. Or 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds holding babies, you know, because it's just, it's such a family lifestyle that, you know, it's just, it's not unusual. So we kind of laugh and we're like, you know, when will you ever be in a room full of everybody that's your same age ever again in your life?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think we can learn, and your kids can learn from older kids, younger kids, adults, old people, you know? Right. So, yeah.
And that makes sense when you mentioned earlier about how you noticed when you first met your husband, you noticed that he did seem a little bit different in that he, you know, was a really good communicator. He opened the door for you. Like his mannerisms were different than other college-aged boys. and part of that is probably, well, one, because he was playing bridge with, you know, with older people. But yeah, that he had experience socializing with a variety of ages.
Right.
I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and he didn't, I remember he didn't have a problem going to talk to his professors about something. It was just like another human. It wasn't, you know, he didn't have this hurdle he had to get over about, oh, this is my professor and they know so much and, you know, whatever. It was just, let's talk about my grades or what do I need to do? How can you help me? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
And such an important skill too.
Right.
All right. Well, so in addition to homeschooling, you're also involved in some other extracurricular activities outside of the home. So I would love to hear about that.
Okay.
Let's first talk about your homeschool choir that you've started.
Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, my background is in music and I've been a vocalist my whole life. But as kids get older, especially in the homeschooling communities, there's just, it kind of tapers off in what they can be involved in. There's just not as much. So like I said, I have an almost 17-year-old and he loves to sing, and I have a 12-year-old who loves to sing, and they have some skill too, but I don't want to put them in a conservatory or anything like that, just because that's, you know, we still have all these other things that we're doing. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it, which can be to my detriment a lot of times. But yeah, so it's open to all teens. I'm saying 12 and up because there's a certain special thing that happens with teenagers, especially in an arts environment, where it's not just about what you're learning, but it's about this connection that happens. And that's what I really want for these teenagers. I want them to learn things too, you know, learn theory, learn how to read music, learn how to make a good sound, etc. But I really want them to like make a connection with each other. So yeah, we're on Facebook. We're brand new. it's Colorado Springs Vocal Ensemble. So you can search for it if you want. But yeah, we're hoping to grow that a bit.
Awesome. Yeah. And so, you know, we are about out of time.
Okay.
But I have so many more questions for you. So if other people do have questions or are interested in joining the homeschool choir, where, I know you mentioned what they can search for, where else can they get in touch with you?
You know, I am totally open for people to message me on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way. Or katiecrumpton@gmail.com is also open.
Okay, great. So, well, thank you so much for sitting with me here today and answering all my questions.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Absolutely. Thanks. Yeah. All right. Thank you for joining us today on The Huntington Way. My name is Pearl Sunshine, and we'll see you next time.